It was one of this country's worst mass murders, but for many Australians, it remains pretty much forgotten, if not unknown. 40 years ago today, 15 people died in the Whiskey A Go Go nightclub firebombing in Brisbane's Fortitude Valley. 5 months after the fire, John Stewart and James Finch were convicted of murder and sentenced to life in prison. But there's long been doubt over their guilt. The Queensland Government is now under pressure to reopen the investigation. A report which names another person as the real arsonist has been handed to Queensland's Attorney General. It's based on evidence gathered by the nephew of one of the convicted men, as well as evidence gathered by the crime writer Tony Reeves, who's working on a book on this case, which will be published later this year. Tony Reeves, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Haven't spoken to you for ages.
A long time. Yeah. Tony, can you take us back to the firebombing at Whiskey A Go Go back in 1973? What happened?
Yes, there were about 100 people in the club, and at 2:08 on the Thursday morning, the 8th of March, two four-gallon petrol drums were uncapped, rolled into the foyer and lit, and toxic, more than fire, the toxic black fumes gushed up the stairs and filled the club. Lights went out and there was panic and chaos. People couldn't find the fire exit, and 15 people died, I think nearly all of them of suffocation in the fumes rather than being burned. Subsequently, quite amazingly in fact, things happened so fast immediately after the fire. On the day of the fire, on the Thursday, Police Commissioner Whitrod asked New South Wales and Victorian Police to assist in the investigation to determine whether there was any interstate criminal involvement in the fire. And also, breaking all records before or since, the coroner opened an inquest into the 15 deaths some 30 hours later.
That's all pretty unusual, but so is it unusual to have barrels of petrol set alight in a club full of people? I mean, what was the thinking at the time about the motivation for a crime like this?
Well, I can get to that if we've got a few moments. What had happened? John Andrew Stewart was the arrested on the Saturday, James Finch on the Sunday, mm-hmm. and the coroner's inquest was adjourned but not closed on the Monday morning. So that's that part of it, and we're seeking to have the coroner's inquest reopened to mm-hmm. look at this new evidence. John Andrew Stewart had been in Sydney, and he was what I would describe as a very independent criminal. And independent criminals, as we know, are not welcome there. We're not welcome there. Lenny McPherson and his crooked cop mates ran the town and didn't like independent activists like Flannery and Reagan and others. Mm-hmm. And he was set up for the shooting of Iron Man Jackie Steele, got sentenced to 8 years for the shooting because Steele hadn't died at that stage, and protested his innocence mildly. But there was a murder attempt on him in Long Bay Jail. He was stabbed and nearly died in Long Bay Jail. So McPherson was out to make sure that he behaved or sure. died, you know. He was subsequently sent back to Brisbane with threats to stay there and also to tell clubs that Sydney criminals were going to come to Brisbane and start a standover racket, which he subsequently did. He went around clubs and was telling them that. There's no evidence he ever took any money himself from the clubs. He was just passing on the message.
But that's why he came into the frame for the police of the Whiskey A Go Go fire.
He was in the frame from the moment he landed in Brisbane. Crooked police in Sydney, and I will refer to Fred Cray particularly, the late Fred Cray, had close contacts with the crooked police in Brisbane, and this guy was going to be set up. They tried to kill him in Long Bay, and he was set up from the day he landed back in Brisbane. Coincidentally, he was talking about fires in clubs. Coincidentally, and totally unrelated, there was a fire at a club called Torino's, and I now know that the late former policeman Tony Murphy was directly involved in organising that fire.
Is this, Tony, obviously this is a story that we could play out for hours here, but we've only got a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
and I know you've been working on this for a couple of years. You've uncovered some new evidence, previously embargoed documents from the Fitzgerald Inquiry. What do they reveal?
Well, the previously embargoed documents from the Fitzgerald Inquiry is a confusion to the story. Back in October 2011, I applied to the CMC for access to 28 files. That was approved. I've got the paperwork to prove it. I subsequently went out and extracted my notes from those files. And I told the CMC without access to these files, this history couldn't be accurately written. The current CMC story is an entirely different one. I mean, I'm quite happy to go to the parliamentary committee and say, show them the bits of paper that I had authorised access to files, and only I did. And the access was not opened to other people at that time. This is that's a different story.
Okay.
And tends to cause a bit of a blur about it because of the overlapping, you know.
So Tony, what of this new evidence, though, that a politician was apparently going to table in Parliament yesterday? That hasn't happened, but it has been handed to the Queensland Attorney-General.
Yes, Peter Wellington, I've been speaking with. I have evidence, and it's not related to CMC files, it's from an entirely different source, that a person immediately after the fire broke down screaming, "I didn't do it, I couldn't have done it, I couldn't do the whiskey fire," and then went into great detail about how it had happened. That occurred twice. That person was later convicted in New South Wales of the arson, and while he was in jail at Silverwater, the person I've been speaking to went down and visited him, and he made a very quiet, rational confession to doing the whiskey drop.
So if that was the case, why were the other two locked up?
Well, the other two, firstly, by the time they arrested James Stewart on the Saturday, they didn't even know James Finch was in Australia. They'd actually published the name of another English criminal who was in Australia. They knew Finch, they knew Stewart was knocking around with an English guy, you know. They were locked up because the police were out to silence Stewart. It was as simple as that. It was a reflection of the anger that he'd aroused in Sydney, and he got locked up. And we will also be saying in the book that he was murdered in Boggo Road Jail.
All right. Well, just finally, Tony, there's a lot of revelations that you're suggesting here, 40 years on, and I know you're calling for that original coronial inquest, which was adjourned to be reopened. But today is the 40th anniversary of the firebombing. This afternoon, there'll be a memorial at the site. Does this tragedy still resonate in Brisbane?
Oh, very much so, yes. We've had an enormous response over the last few days when Danny Stewart and I have been talking about it, and we'll see today at 2 o'clock at the memorial service. But yes, it does. It was, as you said in the introduction, it was at the time the biggest mass murder in Australia's history at that time. And people don't forget those things, you know.
No.
I mean, there's a major story in the paper today marking the anniversary, you know.
Okay.
Yep.
Tony, thank you very much for joining us, and we await your book later this year.
Thank you very much, Fran.
Tony Reeves, he's a former investigative journalist, he's a crime writer now, and he's investigating Brisbane's 1973 Whiskey A Go-Go nightclub firebombing.